Thank you, Brother Don. Thank you, Pastor Matt. What a great selection of songs today to remind us and to prepare our hearts that God watches over us, He cares for us, and He's going to meet every need we face in the days ahead. Well, it's good to see you this morning, and I'm glad that the rain or the thunder did not keep you away. I'm sure some were woken by the thunder this morning and said, wow, I guess I won't be able to get to church today. But truthfully, that was God just waking you up and saying, get out of bed, go to church. So I'm glad you listened to God today, and I'm glad you are here. I'm sure that some of you are aware of the fact that each Sunday morning, the pastoral staff and some of our deacons and leaders meet to pray for the service, review the order, and there are times that we gather and a lot of work has gone into preparing for special services, Easter, Christmas, sometimes anniversary Sunday, sometimes a conference. And with all of the work that has gone on, we're here and the day is here. And so oftentimes we begin with the words, so here we go. Here we go. And the meaning of that basically is the day is here. Let's see what God is going to do. And in a similar sense, there's been a lot of work going on, a lot of preparation for today, a lot of anticipation perhaps on your part. And we're excited. The day is here. What is God going to do? And so I say this morning, so here we go. Now, I'll be honest with you, we don't do that in the pastor's meeting in the morning. But you are special, and I wanted to make sure I had your attention today, and I think I have it. Well, we are here, and we thought as we do get started today and enter this new chapter of Calvary Baptist Church, we're in a new phase, and we thought it would be good to give you an update of what's going on. I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago and said, hey, we will give you information and keep you updated so you can pray and just have a sense of what's God doing. And so I want to give you that update. And want you to know that our pastors, our deacons, our leadership have had a number of meetings in the past month, and our process for the pulpit committee is well on the way. As a matter of fact, nominations have been made, vetted, and will soon be approved by our deacons, which is what our bylaws call for, and will be presented to the church on May 15th. So we are quickly moving along. That's 2 short weeks away, and you will learn who that pulpit committee is. Be praying for them. Be praying that God will bless and give them wisdom and discernment. And this is a great committee of folks who are qualified men and women who will have the responsibility of considering and then presenting a potential candidate that will effectively minister to all the different stages that are represented at Calvary. So do pray. God will bless them, and you'll be meeting them soon. Also, if you would like to participate and nominate someone for the pulpit committee to consider as our senior pastor, and you believe, hey, I know of a person that's well qualified, that would be a good fit here at Calvary, well, there is a box on the Welcome Center outside that you can fill out a form and submit that, and the pulpit committee will take into consideration those nominations that you submit. Also, the pastors, the deacons will be meeting in a short time to consider the position of an interim pastor, and we will update you as we move along and keep you informed of that process. But in the meantime, we have put in place a preaching schedule through the month of July. So we have things in place and good men of God that will be faithful to the preaching of the Word of God. As a matter of fact, May, the preaching schedule for May is listed in the bulletin. You can see who that is. Be praying for them. Ask God to bless in this time of preaching of His Word. I think it's important for you to know as well that this is not going to be a time of candidating phase. as our speakers are before you. It's simply a time that our church family and ministry friends can share the word with us over the months to come. Also wanted to share with you, because a number of people have asked me, I am not seeking the position of senior pastor, but do pray for God's man and God's timing, and God will bless. No question in my mind about that. Also want you to know, as pastors, our day-to-day responsibilities continue as we have previously done, and we're all available to you. Whatever the need may be in your life or your family, we're here for you. Each of our pastors may oversee a particular part of ministry, and you may want to direct that question or need to that one that oversees that, but we're all available to speak with you, minister with you, counsel, and just want you to know. So those things are available to you, and certainly I also want you to know, as a way of testimony, I've just experienced and witnessed just a sweet, sweet spirit of our leaders and a real unification of what God is going to do, a real hope, a real excitement of looking ahead, what the Lord is going to provide here. So I want you to be excited about that as well. Continue in prayer, and we will see what the Lord allows us to experience. Pastor Dean texted our staff this morning and let us know that he is praying for us. And I let him know we're praying for him as well. And do be praying. Do be praying for them as they have a number of things to get in place and preparing for their ministry. But I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that Pastor Dean, over the past 4 weeks, have given us messages and topics that really prepare our heart and our thinking in moving forward. I'm so thankful for a message of being confident and being careful, being committed, being Christ-centered. And that's something you should continue to think about and have your mind on. Be confident, not because of who stands behind this pulpit, but because of who stands in heaven, who reigns in heaven. And God loves us and cares for us, and we know good things are ahead. Do be confident. Do be careful. Guard yourself, guard your lips, guard your mind, guard your activities, guard your thinking. Let God have his way as we move forward. Be committed. Be committed. And not with the commitment of, well, we'll see how it goes. That's not commitment. Listen, we are family. And when family goes through a phase, when we are facing something, we are committed as family. Stick the course. Stay in the race. Watch what God will do, and I know he'll bless us. And then, of course, as we are Christ-centered, great things are going to happen. I believe that with all my heart. And so if you have any questions about anything I've said, you can speak to any of the pastoral staff. You can ask questions as well as of the chairman of our deacons, and that's Kevin McMines, and I know they'll be glad to help you. So today we get started, and I recognize, in spite of the good preparation and just things that are going on and what God is doing in our midst, there's certainly some uncertainty in your heart and mind as we move forward. I understand that. You may be worried about, well, where will this take us? What will happen here? What change will it bring? How long will it take? Will we survive this transition? Will I make it through all of this? And I understand that, and much of that is natural. And that's why I want to share something with you today that is supernatural. And that's the word of God, of how we can deal with and handle and call upon the Lord in times of transition such as this. And so I believe with all my heart that in spite of what we are facing, the scripture will remind us today that we can live a stress-free life. These kind of times produce stress in our life. They can perhaps give us worry about things. Listen, God has the answer. God has the solution for all of that. Please turn in the scriptures to Philippians chapter 4. For my electronic friends, verse 4, as we get into the word of God. Also, if you're using a Pew Bible, it is page 1044. As I am sure it is for you, and what you have experienced in times of transition, change, difficulty, the book of Philippians has been a blessing to you as it has been for me. And Whether you're experiencing uncertainty or stress or anxiety, I believe our text today has something to say about that. Would you look at me at verse 4 as we do get into the Word? There the Apostle Paul tells us, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I will say rejoice. "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Our topic today is stress-free living. Would you pray with me and ask God to bless His Word today? Father, we're so thankful that we can look to You in times of transition, in times of uncertainty, in times of change. Just, Lord, looking to You brings a peace that passes understanding. Today, bless Your Word, I pray, and minister to hearts today. May what is said and preached and used bring glory to Your name. And we'll thank You for what You do in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, stress has certainly become a way of life for many. You know that. It doesn't take much to be able to see it in your family when you're all going different ways and trying to meet schedules and things are going on. It doesn't take much when you're out and about shopping to see there are customers that are stressed out. Sometimes they take it out on a clerk. Sometimes there are clerks that are stressed out, taking it out on a customer. Whether it's friends or family or people we know, people we live nearby, we know it's stress-related when you see them just act in a certain way. And many are living in that way. We are in an age of anxiety. Some people claim that stress helps them get the job done, pushes them to excellence, but nonetheless, they're still stressed out. Today we talk about burnout like never before, and there are more emotional disorders as a result of stress and anxiety than ever before. What can we do about it? Is it possible to live a stress-free life the way I'm suggesting today? Well, in God's grace, in God's Word, it is. We can rise above the pressures of life. Listen, when pressures come, some people see a doctor. Some people get a prescription. But you should ask the question, is it possible for a pill to do what God cannot? And before you get real upset with me, I recognize there are times that medication is used and very helpful and also very needful. But my point this morning is we should ask some questions before we just look to that solution. Examine your priorities. Examine your schedule. Perhaps that's what's causing the stress. A pill doesn't take that away. A psychologist doesn't take that away. A counselor may remind you, look at your schedule. Readjust. That will bring stress. Your workload will bring stress. Any sin in your life will bring stress. So before you call a doctor, get alone with the Lord and say, Lord, reveal anything within me that I need to forsake and confess. And so there are many different situations we face in our life. But I ask you this question. Does Christ make a difference? And I know many of you would say, yes. Yes, He does. Well, my follow-up question is, then what difference does He make? What difference does He make when you're facing stress and difficulties and struggles? I think Christ can help us when we're facing particular situations and the stresses of life. And in our text today, the apostle does give us a number of commands to follow, and he enlightens us as to the result of following those commands. And as we put these principles into practice, our character is further transformed into the image of Christ. And really, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. So let's look at these characteristics of stress for living a stress-free life. And the first thing we see once again in verse 4 is rejoice in the Lord. Now that might be an interesting answer to your problem. I'm going through some difficulty, Pastor. Well, just rejoice in the Lord. But that's what the apostle says, rejoice in the Lord. And perhaps someone would say, what? Maybe I didn't hear that right. Again, Paul says, rejoice. And that is the answer so often. We have to develop a rejoicing heart if we're going to live a stress-free life. Now, does it surprise you that God wants you to have joy? Sometimes people view God as someone waiting for you to make a mistake and then smack your hand. Young people, that's not who God is. God has given us guidelines, and we as adults need to recognize it as well. He's put things in place in His Word. He has given us His Spirit to guide us, to direct us, to help us when we're making decisions. God hasn't given principles to your parents to take your joy away. He has given guidelines so you stay safe and you're close to the Lord through an important stage of your life. So God is not a killjoy. That's a misunderstanding of who God is, and many people have that misunderstanding. I am surprised in times of counsel when people tell me what they think God is doing in their life, or I hear someone say, you know what, I don't believe in God. I have to ask the question, well, what kind of God is it that you don't believe in? Because I probably don't believe in that kind of God either. Tell me about this God. And many times there are misunderstandings, mistaken notions about God. And they come from many, many different sources and sometimes from Christians themselves. Well, we know from the Bible that Jesus wants us to have joy. He tells us in John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy, which is a perfect joy, may remain in you and that your joy may be full. Jesus tells us He wants our joy to be full. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to rejoice. And sometimes we miss that because of circumstances. He tells us in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Listen, Jesus didn't come just to give us a life that just has the capacity to merely exist. He came to give us a joyful, abundant life. He came to complete our joy. He came to complete and make it full. That's what the Bible teaches us. Are you experiencing that joy in spite of wherever circumstances have you? So, in our text, we are told to rejoice always. Always? That's what the text says. Is that possible for some of what you're facing in your life? Is that possible to experience that joy always and for everything that happens? Well, to shed some light on that concept, there's another passage that Paul speaks to the Thessalonian church. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, this will give you some thought about that. We are told we should give thanks in everything. Once again, no matter what's going on in your life, we can be joyful. We can be thankful in what God is doing in our life. And do notice, it does not say to give thanks for everything, but in everything. Now, some time ago, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and I'll be honest with you, I did not thank God for the cancer. But I can tell you that I gave thanks to God in the cancer, because of what He did in my life and the focus that He had me on of what He can do. And at the lowest physical time that I could experience in life, I experienced my highest spiritual time because God had my eyes on Him. My focus was on Him, what He was going to do. And I got excited because I was in a no-lose situation. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And some of you experienced that. And so, yes, we can be thankful in everything that God is doing. Now, apply that to our church situation. We're going through transition. Pastor Dean and Faith have left. Should you be thankful for their leaving? No. But you can be thankful in their leaving. Let me give you an example. Some of you have lost a pastor. Well, all of you have, as I have. Some of you have lost a friend, as I have. But I also have lost a partner in ministry. In over 12 and a half years, we were side by side in many, many counseling situations and decisions and things going on. And so we have lost a ministry partner. So how do I be thankful for that? Well, not too easy, but I can be thankful in this. When Pastor Dean began to share that and asked me to pray for him, I recognized something very special that I knew all along about him. He's a man, a pastor, with integrity. And I say that because God spoke to him, and he responded. He listened. God told him He had something else for him. He had something else for Calvary. And in spite of the fact he didn't know what was going, where he was going, what he would be doing, he responded to that call. Listen, that's integrity. There are pulpits across America this morning that men are standing behind that have ignored that call. We had a pastor that had integrity, and we can be thankful in that. God's going to do some amazing things. And you've seen that already in his testimony. He had no clue or thought about teaching or doing that. And then God laid it on his heart, gave him that opportunity, and lo and behold, God provided for him. Don't doubt that he will provide for us in the same way. There is something that we can be thankful in every situation that we face. We can always be thankful for God's mercy, for his grace, for his love, for his perfect provision in every situation. We're blessed beyond our understanding, without question. In Romans 8:28, we're reminded, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You see, if you want to rejoice, once again, recognize what God is saying here. He's not saying that we should be thankful for what are, and that's improper English, but what the scripture says, that what God is doing. Because for good speaks of the outcome. It doesn't say be thankful for, but it says be thankful as God is doing those things, for the things, works together for goods. And for good speaks of the outcome. It doesn't say our good. Our good speaks about our feelings. And that's sometimes where we get a little befuddled. That's sometimes where we have a difficulty, because so much we base our life on what we're feeling. And I would tell you, the best thing you can do when you have some concern about what you're feeling is to focus on the Lord. Think about things that bring you joy. Think about things that excite you and bring a peace to your heart and mind. That can be scripture that certainly would do that. That can be a promise that God has made to you. Write those things out. Put them in places that remind you when you're a little bit concerned. I'm going to thank God. Here's his promise that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Whatever else brings you joy, it may be the thought of your family. Listen, if you've been in my office, you know there is scripture all around my office. You know my desk and my shelves have pictures of my family. Why? Because they bring me joy. God's word brings me joy. Spending time in prayer brings me joy. And so focus on those things. Stay committed to those things. Listen to what God's word says through the prophet Nehemiah. He says, this day is holy to our Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You hear that? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Some of you are zapped of strength. You're low of energy. You need to be rejoicing once again. I love what another translation says. It says, don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Listen, actions precede feelings. You know that in life because you have experienced times when you've started a diet. I won't ask for a show of hands, but some of you are starting a diet this Monday. Some of you started it last Monday, and you know what that's all about. You say, yeah, I should be watching my intake for whatever reason. And so none of us feel good about starting a diet. None of us feel good about starting an exercise program unless you're a little strange. And some of you are. None of you feel good about maybe you're taking a course and you realize, wow, this is 4 weeks I have to be studying and preparing. But once you get in it, and once you see whether it's a diet and you see some pounds come off, exercising and you see the results of that, or you begin learning and rejoicing and, wow, I'm so glad I'm taking this course, you begin to feel good about it. And that's true spiritually speaking as well. You may not always feel like reading your Bible, but listen, it's necessary for us to be in the Word of God. It's necessary for us, in spite of what we're feeling, to pick this Word up and spend time in it. And before long, you're going to be excited about something you read, and God answers a prayer. God puts your mind on something. God has you thinking about something. You may not always be excited or when you're coming to church thinking, wow, I could have slept in today. I could have been doing something else. But when you get here and God speaks to you and you sense the feeling of love from other Christians, you're thankful that you came. And there are so many ways that we can recognize you don't always feel right about something until you do it. So action results in feelings. So be thinking about that as you have your mind on what the Lord will have us to do, and do create that rejoicing spirit. But secondly, we need to develop a gentle spirit. We need to develop a gentle spirit. That's what the word tells us today in verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And so how important is that gentleness of spirit? Why? Why is that important to have a stress-free life? Well, think about it. First of all, it's a testimony to the world of what God is doing in our life and how important it is for them to see that God has his hand upon us. There's gentleness in spite of circumstances. There's gentleness in how we respond regardless of whatever we are experiencing. There's gentleness, and it certainly characterizes the life of Christ. He was gentle. Sometimes we get the idea that gentleness, that's weakness, not biblically speaking. It is a characteristic of strength. It takes a strong person to be truly gentleness. Gentleness is really strength under control. But think about what it results in when you're gentle. It results in a lack of striving, of arguing, of demanding, of manipulating. It shows strength of character. Sometimes we think, as parents, I need to raise my voice to get my children to act. Now, they may act when you raise your voice, but the only thing you've done is you've passed on some stress to them. Stress under control. Be firm, but you don't have to raise your voice. You don't have to get upset. When people don't agree with us, we know what we believe. We don't have to get upset with them. Our faith is not shaken. There's no need to panic. We can be calm. We can be gentle. And truth is, gentleness helps us communicate God's truth to others. Think of what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:24. He says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so they may know the truth." Isn't that the bottom line? When we speak to others, that they may know the truth of the Word of God. Some of you are closer to the Lord as the result of someone that was gentle in your life. Some of you may have gotten saved as a result of seeing that gentleness in the life of another. Truth is, we can't argue people in heaven. Can't argue them into believing. Jesus never tried to do it. He presented the truth. He let the Spirit work. If they didn't believe him, he didn't yell louder. He may have prayed for them. He may have lived a life that proved what he was saying. He died for us. But he didn't yell any louder. Besides, people have a right to believe what they believe, or we don't have a right to believe what we believe. So respect that. Pray for someone that doesn't agree with you. And remember this, a man convinced against his will remains of the same mind still. Sometimes we coerce people into believing. And that may be why there's many professions, but possibly little possessions of eternity. Don't force people into believing. That's a work of God, that he presents the truth. It's the Spirit of God that convicts them of sin, and God uses that. Proverbs 15:1 reminds us, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Now, normally it takes two people to argue, but we can make our case without strife, without arguing, without manipulating, and when we do that, we reveal that we're trusting God. Now, reasoning is something we should do. That's something we can do. I'm thankful for the Sunday evening service that David Thomas is sharing. Things that we can know, things that we can reason with people. Reasoning is not going to get anyone into heaven. But it does help them think. And God works when people are thinking. So, bear in mind how important it is if we're going to have a stress-free life to have a gentle spirit. And then if you're going to have that stress-free life, you also have to have an unanxious attitude. Look at verse 6, first part of that. Be anxious for nothing, Paul says. Once again, that sounds pretty easy. Listen, don't worry about anything. Everything's okay. Don't be anxious. Don't be nervous. Don't be worrying. Well, if we're going to cultivate that unanxious attitude, we need to understand some reality about that. Kind of sounds impossible when you're facing some of the difficulties that you face. We all have anxieties, humanly speaking. That's just the way it is. What are yours? What are you struggling with? What are you worried about? Is it your job? Is it about money, if you'll have enough to take care of things? Is it your children? Some of the choices they're making? Some of the difficulties they're struggling with physically? Are you worried about the past or the present or the future? Or about paying bills? Are you worried about your investments or your retirement or your health or even your relationship with God? Are you worried about who will be our next pastor? Will God provide? Listen, what good does worrying do? None whatsoever. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ when it comes to this. He says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what will you eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Bear that in mind. "Which of you can, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" So why worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. And here he gives us an example. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Once again, who are of great value to him? And listen how he closes that out. And here's the problem. Oh, you of little faith. Well, if the problem is little faith, then what's the answer? What's the opposite of little faith? Let me hear it. Great faith. And what would be another word for faith? Trust. And may I say to you, your solution to being anxious is just trusting God. Just trusting God is the antidote to worry. Put your trust in him. He loves you. He cares for you. He died for you. And may I say, he loves Calvary? This is his church. He will care for us through this transition. He will bring us his man in his due time. Trust him. You've trusted him with eternity if you're saved. You can trust him with today. You can trust him whatever you're facing. So why worry? Trust God instead. An unanxious attitude comes from faith and the goodness of God. Reflect on that. Meditate on that. Rejoice in it. And once again, there's something we have to rejoice about. He's so good. He loves us. He will care for us. And oftentimes, this comes about by a prayerful lifestyle. Look in verse 6, the second part of that. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God." I love what John Bunyan, I believe, said. He said, "You can do more than pray after you've prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you've prayed." And so let me encourage you to be praying for what God has for us, what he will be doing. We are going to be scheduling special times of prayer. Look for those opportunities. Come out on Wednesday night. We meet here and we pray and we have a Bible study throughout our community. There are studies going on and times of prayer. Make yourself available to that. Get plugged in. Listen, it is not enough to be present. Be connected. And those are times you could connect because prayer makes a difference. It's made a difference in you. It makes a difference in us as a church. It makes a difference as God prepares and calls a man to come here, that we're faithful through that time and speaking to God. It's getting closer to him. It's knowing him in a better way, in a deeper way. Prayer does so much for us. And always remember that when you're praying to someone who cares for you, as Peter told us. I love what the Phillips translation says about that. 1 Peter 5:7, it says, "You can throw the whole weight of your anxieties upon him, for you are his personal concern." I love that. God loves you so. He wants to meet every need, and it is through prayer. And you know that at times you have a burden on your heart, and sometimes you have somebody close with you that you can share that burden with. And you know there's a good feeling about that. You feel like you've just shared something. They're going to be praying for you, and it's kind of roll that burden off your shoulders. That's what prayer is all about. Taking that burden off of our shoulders and putting that on God. But he's someone that could do something about it. Now, our friends help us and they pray for us. God can act on our behalf. Do you do that? Do you recognize what God can do on our behalf? James reminds us in James 4:2, "You do not have because you do not ask." Listen, God may bring his man here in 3 months. He may do it in 6 months. He may do it in a year, and his timing is always perfect. But I don't want that to be a result of we're not asking. Make it a priority of your life. Speak with God. Share the burdens of your heart. Ask him to bring his man. And of course, it will be in his timing. But we want to cry out to God. God's going to do something in all of our lives if we allow him to during this time of transition. For many of you, this isn't the first time you've gone through a transition. And many of you could give testimony how we've been blessed during times of transition. We're not on hold. We serve the living God who wants to meet needs in our lives. He wants to see souls saved. He wants us to minister to our community. Get plugged in. Let God use you in a way that he's never used you before. You know what the result of that prayer is? It's peace. Look with me in verse 7. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You know, peace is a rare thing in our world. Peace is a rare thing of especially times that we're in, political season, and just realizing as well what's happening across the world. There's not a lot of peace going on around the world or in the world, but we're God's people, and we should be a people that experience peace. Listen, bad stuff happens. It happens every day. It happens everywhere. It happens in our town. It happens in our neighborhood. And yes, there are times that it happens to us. But listen, as Christians, there's a promise from God, a promise of peace, a peace that surpasses or transcends all understanding. That's our God. That's why I said it's supernatural. It's not natural what I'm telling you today. It's supernatural. We do our part. God does his always. But he does want us to do our part. There's that promise of peace. Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, people. Neither let it be afraid." Jesus wants us to have the kind of peace that sets us apart from others in the world. There are people that will watch your life, and they'll ask you, "So, how's it going at Calvary?" Show them that peace that God gives in spite of circumstances. Whatever you're experiencing in your life, let him give you that peace so others see God working in you. Isaiah reminds us of the key to this kind of peace. He says in 26:3, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Once again, there's that matter of trust, but the issue of being stayed on him, to lean on, to stand fast, to take hold of, that's what God wants you to be doing during these times, and to reflect that we trust him. And how do we do that? We focus on him. We pray. We read his word. We meditate on his promises. When you are struggling and you're going through difficulty, remember he said, "All of you who labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest." Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. That's what we're doing today. We're learning of him, of how he wants to help us through this time, and as well with any situation you're facing in your life. We are told that God's peace will guard your heart and mind in verse 7. That word translated guard is a military term. It means to set a garrison around. Interesting. In other words, God is saying he will protect our minds like a military army protects its vital resources. Only he does it much better. That's the living God who wants to help us. And here's the thing, a peaceful mind is that testimony to the world that God is in us and working. And when you see that peace, when you see that grace, when you see what God is doing, it affects others. It affected me 37 years ago when I saw it in my wife. I knew she had something different, and I wanted it. And that's by God's grace. And so, a peaceful mind is reflecting our trust in God. It's the result of a rejoicing heart, a gentle spirit, an unanxious attitude, and a prayerful lifestyle. It's the opposite of a stress-filled life that many live today. And so we can live this stress-free life by just trusting him. Will you trust him? That's my question to you today. And perhaps I'm speaking to someone today that some of this just doesn't make sense. And that may be because you've never taken that first step of trust. Maybe you've never been born again, as the scripture tells us to be. Maybe you've never repented of your sin, or you've made a profession, but you've never repented and turned away and trusted God. There's an opportunity for you to respond today, and when I go to prayer in just a moment, you can pray a simple prayer and just reflect to God. You know, scripture reminds us in Romans 10:13, for whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's your opportunity today, and if you're not sure or you have questions, I'll be at the hospitality table in a moment. Come and talk to me. Speak to our pastor standing at the front. There are many today, friends perhaps that invited you that can answer questions about that. Listen, in a simple prayer, you tell God that you believe who God is, who Jesus is, and what he did. Jesus is not only the Son of God, he's God the Son. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead. He paid the price for eternal life for us. Repent. Recognize that you have sinned and ask God for his grace, his forgiveness. And then just receive him. Invite him into your heart. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him. If God is knocking at your heart today about any issue, today's the day to respond to that call. Would you pray with me? Father, we do thank you for your word today and just the reminder of, Lord, not to be anxious. And Father, I have spoken about perhaps some that are concerned about this transition, but there are many other issues represented here today. It may be about health. It may be about finances. It may be even the question of salvation. Lord, you tell us to trust you. And I pray that these thoughts will go home with us. We'll reflect on them. We'll meditate on them. We'll call upon you again and again. And for someone here that does not know you, I pray even now, Lord, they're asking for your forgiveness and inviting you into their heart. So we pray you'll bless each aspect, each decision that's made, and it would bring you glory in Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen. Invitation is very simple today. You may want to come and pray as we have an invitation, an invitational song. You may want to come and just pray for our church. Ask God to bless. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our pastors. You may want to pray for your children. You may want to pray for one another. You may just ask God to meet a particular need. You may want to come and tell us that you've been saved today and how we can pray for you as well. So would you stand if God has spoken to you? Come. The Spirit says come. And I trust you'll honor that request.
We'll take some time just quietly to just pray for a moment, and then we'll sing together, Jesus, I'm resting in the joy of what you are.